In just a few minutes, the last verse that we will consider together will be found in Romans chapter 15. For the calendar year, we have been thinking about the theme of Know the Lord, and for the month of December, we have been thinking about Know the Lord who sends His Son and His Spirit. So this morning, for a few minutes, I'd like for us to think about, I will put my Spirit within you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant is a fact. It is a reality. It is a blessing of the New Covenant. And so our thoughts this morning are going to center around the idea of the purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. So, we'll do so in the context of a top 10 list. What is the purpose of the indwelling? Number one, the purpose of the indwelling is life. In Ezekiel 36, and in verses 26 and 27, the true and living God says, I will put my Spirit within you. And then in Ezekiel chapter 37 and in verse 14, in this great scene of the Valley of the Dry Bones, the Lord says, I will put my Spirit in you and you shall live. And the imagery there is that apart from the Spirit, we are nothing but dry bones. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, we read that because of the sin that separates us from God, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, that we are dead in our sins and in our trespasses. And so, when we are born of water and the Spirit, John 3:5, when we experience, Titus 3:5, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit of life gives life. What is the purpose of the indwelling in your life? Number one, life. Number two, identification. When we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, verse 19, then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1, 13. God seals us and gives us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Identification, ownership, protection. The idea is that God is communicating to us that we belong to Him. In Galatians, the third chapter, and in verse 14, we read that the blessing of Abraham comes upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that through Christ Jesus we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Even Gentiles can be identified as people of God, as children of God in the new covenant through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the indwelling in your life? Number one, life. Number two, identification. And number three, sanctification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, these words were written to folks who knew something about being dead in sins and trespasses. They knew something about being dirty, of being profane, of the need to be cleansed, to be washed, the need to be sanctified. And so in Acts the 18th chapter, we read about the conversion of the Corinthians and how they believed and were baptized. And so after they had been born again of the water and the Spirit, we read in 1 Corinthians 6:11 that they were washed, that they were sanctified, they were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Acts 2 verse 38, we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 5 verse 32, the Holy Spirit whom God gives to those who obey Him. Collectively, we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. And that is a result of justification and sanctification. The blood of Jesus washes away our sins, and we are given the Holy Spirit, And the Spirit of God dwells in us as living stones in the temple of God. Individually, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. The people of God have been set apart by the Holy Spirit who dwells in them. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8, God who has also given us His Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13, we have salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, in sanctification of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us holy. The Holy Spirit sets us apart. That is one of the purposes of the indwelling in your life. Number four, the Holy Spirit dwells in us in the New Covenant to help us. To help us. In John the 14th chapter, and in verses 16 and 17, Jesus says something to the apostles that I don't think that they had any idea how to wrap their mind around. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. And it's to your advantage that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send another helper. Another like me. I'm going to send another helper, and He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. For He dwells with you and will be in you. John 14, verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name. John 15, verse 26. The Helper, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. John 16, 7, the Helper, I will send Him to you. Someone might be tempted to pause me at this point and say, well, Jason, John 14, verses 16 and 17, and 14, 26, and 15, 26, and 16, 7, that was spoken by Jesus to the apostles. Indeed, it was. And what we see when we put all of this together is that God made this promise concerning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant to different people in different times for different purposes. And the key to understanding all of this is John 3, verse 34, and it has to do with measure. Who is this Jesus? He is the servant of Isaiah who was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He had the full measure of the Holy Spirit, John 3, verse 34, when He was on the earth. Jesus is communicating to the apostles in these passages in John that He is going to send the Holy Spirit to them in such a way that He is going to help them to remember the will of God, the Word of God, the words of Jesus, the purpose of God in their lives and in everyone's lives. He is going to help them to the extent that they are going to speak and they are going to write the Word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so how did the Holy Spirit help the apostles? Well, beginning in Acts the second chapter, He helped them by performing miracles through them. And He helped them with their revelation of God's Word, with the revealing of God's Word. He helped them to pass along spiritual gifts that are enumerated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to other Spirit-filled Christians so that they might take those special spiritual gifts and confirm the Word of God that had not yet been written down. The point of the miracles, according to Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, was never the miracles. It wasn't about impressing people on the day of Pentecost that these ignorant and unlearned people who don't know these languages are speaking these languages. The point of the miracles on the day of Pentecost was to help people to understand that something special was happening here. And that people need to take notice of what is happening and they need to give attention to what is being said. And so there were people who were saying, hey, these men are drunk. And Peter stands up and he says, no, we're not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day. Fake news. Alternate facts. Come on, people. Pay attention to what's happening here. This is not that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, Joel 2, 28 through 32. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now that I've got your attention, men and brethren, Jesus of Nazareth. When he was done finished, there were 3,000 souls who understood that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that day wasn't about the miracles. It was about the information that came along after the Holy Spirit was poured out. The information that convicted them that they had crucified the Son of God. And their response was not, "Show us another miracle." Their response was, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And what they were told was to repent and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. And as a result, they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The early church received a measure of the Spirit that is not available today to us concerning miraculous gifts and concerning the revealing of the Word of God. The Word of God has been revealed. We have the faith that was once for all delivered, Jude 3. We have everything that pertains to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. The revelation is complete. The Word is confirmed. The Holy Spirit is not going to help you to do one of those miraculous things that you can read about in 1 Corinthians 12, and He's not going to reveal to you some special knowledge. The Word of God has been revealed in its fullness. And He will help us. He will help us. But not to do miracles and not to receive further revelation. That is not the measure of the Spirit that is available to us today. And so as we think about the help that we need and we take everything that God has said about us from Genesis to Revelation, what we come to understand about ourselves is that we need some help to do right. We need some help to be holy. And we need some help to be righteous. And we need some help to be set apart, to be sanctified. And what the New Covenant is telling us is that apart from the Spirit, we will walk in the desires of our own hearts and we will keep in step with our own desires and we will do them. You and me today, what is the help that is available to us in the person of the Holy Spirit as He dwells within us? He helps us. He comforts us. And as we think about the help and the comfort that is available to us in Him, look at Luke the 11th chapter and verse 13 and consider what Jesus is saying during His life on the earth about our relationship to God. And so in the first century, the people of God were not only looking for the Messiah, they were also looking for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus is on the earth, as Emmanuel, God with us, He's talking about our relationship with our Father in heaven and how we ought to pray and how we ought to live and how we ought to be about the business of asking and seeking and knocking. And then He says in verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" When we are convicted in the depth of our heart that the Holy Spirit is, that the Holy Spirit is available, that the Helper helps, then we will ask for help and we will receive help. I believe that as much as I believe, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Because the same book says both things. It's not one or the other, it's both. And so as we think about the help that is available and the comfort that is available, present tense, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not possession. When we talk about indwelling, when the Spirit Himself talks about indwelling, He doesn't want us to think demon possession. He is not possessing us. He is indwelling us. He is helping us. He is not taking over. So this morning, just be honest with yourself. As I am being honest with myself, do you need help? Do you need help being a Christian? Do you need help conforming to the image of Jesus? Do you need help in bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ Jesus? I sure do. And may I encourage you to think about this morning that all of heaven is saying to us, the Helper helps. He is available and He will help you. So, number five, what is the purpose of the indwelling? And as we build on life and identification and sanctification and help, how does He specifically help us? He strengthens us. And He strengthens us where we need it most, not in our physical man. He doesn't strengthen our arms and our legs. He strengthens our hearts. He strengthens us in our inner man where He dwells. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. And those who obey the gospel, who are born again, who experience regeneration and renewal, then God sends forth His Spirit into our hearts. Galatians 4, 4 through 6. And then we read in Ephesians 3, verse 16, Paul is praying for the Ephesians and he says, I am praying for you that you would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. And so contextually, when he summarizes the prayer with this beautiful doxology in verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Who is the power that works in us? It is the indwelling Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. That God promised to put in His people in the new covenant. I will put My Spirit within you. I will put My Spirit in you. Why? Because we need to be strengthened where we live. I don't live in my arms, and I don't live in my legs, and I don't really live in my physical being. I live in this great big old heart that is in the image of God that He placed in me. And the majority of the time, I wear it on my sleeve. I need some help right there where I live. And that is exactly what I have in Him. I have the Helper in me, strengthening me. And the problem in my life, too often, is that I give place not only to the devil, Ephesians 4, but I give place to Jason. And Jason died with Christ when he obeyed the gospel and was born again. But that guy is just like a cat. He's got nine lives and he just keeps coming back and he just keeps coming back and he just keeps coming back. And I'll tell you what I need. I need some help in keeping him down. And so did the Ephesians. And that is why the Apostle Paul said, I am praying for you that you would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Romans 8, beginning in verse 12. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Too often I believe the reason I don't overcome temptation in my life is because I'm trying to do it myself with my own resources. And I'm a failure because I don't have the resources to do it, and neither do you. And I want to encourage you to think about Romans 8, 12. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What's the purpose of the indwelling? Life, sanctification, help, strength. It may be that you are yielding to more temptation than you want to be yielding to in your life, which is all of it. But you understand what I'm saying. It may be because you're just trying to do it on your own. And God didn't design you to do it on your own. And by the way, you've corrupted yourself with your sin. So you're not capable of doing it. And by the way, the point of all these prophecies about God sending the Spirit into your heart was to communicate to you that you can't do it on your own and that you need help and help is available. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I believe that the Holy Spirit works in our lives in two ways to strengthen us. Number one, He works in our lives to strengthen us externally through the Word, the sword of the Spirit. It is impossible to keep in step with the Spirit and be strengthened in Him and to not know His Word. Impossible. You need a copy of the Word of God. Whether it has your name on it or not, that's a personal choice. But you need a personal copy of God's Word. And you need to wear it out reading it so that you can know the mind of God and the will of God and most importantly, the love of God for you. And when you come to see that this book is not a book, it's the living, breathing Word of God, then the Holy Spirit will take His sword and He will strengthen your inner man. But I believe He works a second way in our lives to strengthen us. He works internally through the indwelling. Ephesians 3 verses 16 through 21 is not about reading God's Word. That's about praying to our God and Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would strengthen with might our inner man. That is a prayer that we need to pray. And so this morning, if you are feeling weak spiritually, if you are feeling weak, then be encouraged. Strength outside of yourself is available, and it's already within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Number 6, what is the purpose of the indwelling? So that we might bear fruit. Whatever fruit you have borne is not to your glory. And whatever fruit that you may have borne so far in your life, you can take no credit for it whatsoever. Whatever love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control you have seen flow from your heart like rivers of living water, you didn't do that. That was the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. As you walk in the Spirit, as you're led by the Spirit, as you live in the Spirit, He will produce the fruit of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does the Holy Spirit want to see in your life? He wants to see you conform to the image of Jesus. Well, what will that look like? It'll look like the fruit of the Spirit, which is nothing more than characteristics of God in the flesh. How did Jesus live? He loved. How would you characterize His attitude? Joyous. What would you say about His relationship with God and with other people and His relationship with Himself? He was at peace. How did He deal with other people? He was long-suffering with them. He was kind with them. He was good to other people. How would you define His relationship with God? Faithful. How did He deal with the less fortunate? Gentle. How did He deal with His enemies? Gentle. Did you ever see Him lose His temper and fall off the handrail and just be totally out of control? Never. He was always under control. He glorified God in every aspect of His life. And that's what the Spirit wants to see in you, and that's what He helps you to do. To conform to the image of Jesus. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. And so in Luke 11, verse 20, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the finger of God. And as we think about fruit bearing, the finger of God is pointing us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is pointing us to Jesus, and He is saying to us, this is what you ought to look like in your thinking and in your speech and in your behavior. This is what Jesus said in John 7, beginning in verse 37. As the Scripture has said, out of His heart will flow rivers of living water. And then the Holy Spirit said, but this He spoke, Jesus spoke, concerning the Spirit who those believing in him would receive, future tense, because they hadn't yet received it in John 7, because Jesus hadn't yet died and risen and ascended, and the Holy Spirit hadn't yet been poured out. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Which takes us back to that great list of prophecies that we've been considering, from Joel to Isaiah to Zechariah, concerning the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so the imagery there is of liquid, of water in John 7 and Isaiah 44, 3 through 5. And so one of the great invitations of Isaiah is, come to the waters so that we might be refreshed, so that we might conform to the image, and rivers of living water would flow from our hearts. And so we obey the gospel. We're born again of the water and the Spirit. And Romans 5 verse 5 tells us that the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us, the first of the fruit of the Spirit. What is the purpose of the indwelling? Number 7, assurance. And I need some assurance, because there's just a lot of things in life under the sun that are unsure. And when it comes to my relationship with God, my life on earth, eternal life, I need some assurance. And that's one of the things that makes God so special. Our Father, our elder brother, and the Holy Spirit. God knows we need assurance, and God gives, because God loves. And so in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, once we hear and once we believe, once we obey, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, the down payment, the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. 2 Corinthians 1:22, we are sealed and given the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 5:5, God, who has also given us the Spirit, is a guarantee, a down payment, an earnest. The disciple of love, the disciple whom Jesus loved, 1 John 3:24 says, and by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. 1 John 4:4, this is information that I need to know if I'm going to have some peace of mind in this world, and some insurance, assurance, not insurance, but assurance. 1 John 4:4, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Yeah, I need to know that, and you need to know that too. And I'll tell you how we both know it. We know it by faith, because 1 John 4 verse 4 says it. The Spirit reveals it to us in 1 John 4 verse 4. How do I know that the Holy Spirit dwells in me? Because He told me that He does. My Father told me that He would, and Jesus said, you can count on it. I've been with you, but He'll be in you. I was with you for a little while, but He'll be within you always. And so in Romans 8, verse 23, we have this promise that we have the first fruits of the Spirit. And this is where all this, these beautiful lessons that we've been considering together for the last month come together. The first fruits of the Spirit. What's the point of that? What's the point of justification and sanctification? The point of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to communicate to us that the Holy Spirit is the first fruits, that we've been given justification through the blood of the Lamb, we've been set apart by the Holy Spirit, and what is coming are the full fruits, and the full fruits that are coming has to do with glorification. The glorification of your body that the Spirit is going to raise up. The redemption of your body conformed to the image of Jesus' resurrection body, so that you might be fit to dwell in heaven itself. What's the purpose of the indwelling? Well, we need help. And one of the specific areas in which we need help is when we pray, because we don't have any idea what we're doing. And if that insults you, let me level up. The Holy Spirit says you don't know what you're doing. And Jesus says you don't know what you're doing. And our God and Father says that you don't know what you're doing. And because God knows that you don't know what you're doing, and because if you're being honest with yourself, as I have to be from time to time, when I'm not thinking more highly of myself as I ought, Romans 12, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what I ought to be saying and how I ought to say it And so here is the hope of Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We are weak. The Spirit is strong. Our knowledge is imperfect. His is perfect. We do not know He is omniscient. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Spirit, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The same words that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane at His lowest, darkest, hardest moment. Because of Jesus, because of His person and His work, we are gifted the Holy Spirit, who from our heart cries out the words that Jesus cried out when He prayed. That encourages me in my ignorance and in my weakness. And that puts Ephesians 6:18 and Jude 20 into perspective too, which are two verses that communicate to us that we ought to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. An awareness that our God and Father is there, that He listens, that He cares, that He acts, that Jesus is our man in heaven. He is the one mediator seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, in our hearts, on the earth, is making intercession from earth to heaven. It's pretty cool, huh? Unity. Why are so many churches divided and biting and devouring one another? They're not full of the Spirit. They're full of Jason. And they're full of Trent and Tony and Glenda. And we're just forgiven sinners who are still in need of sanctification and who are all works in progress. None of us have arrived. None of us have completely conformed our thinking to Jesus. And we have to be patient with one another and recognize that we are all His children and we are at different levels of growth and development and knowledge and understanding and maturity. And so 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body and all have been made to drink one Spirit. That's how I need to view you. And that's how you need to view me, not in all of my limitations and all of my weaknesses, which are many. But I need to see you as created in the image of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Spirit. That makes you special, nothing else. That's what makes you special to God. You are His. The unity of the Spirit, it's a fact, it's a reality, it's a blessing of the new covenant. But we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And too many just endeavor to have their way. Now I'm going to have my way at Annandale. Or I'm going to have my way at Northwood, where I'll be Wednesday night, where my parents worship. It's not about having your way. It's about letting God have His way. And conforming to the image of Jesus and allowing the Spirit to have His way. So we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have to endeavor not to quench the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. The reason so many church buildings, figuratively speaking, metaphorically speaking, are on fire is because local churches quench the Spirit. And so we need to keep in step with the Spirit for the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17. It's not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And finally, number 10. The purpose of the indwelling is resurrection. In Romans 1 verse 4, Jesus Himself was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There are verses that communicate that the Father raised up Jesus. There are verses that communicate that Jesus had the power within Himself to raise Himself. And there are verses that communicate that the Holy Spirit had a role in the resurrection of Jesus. The Godhead working together is one. But there's a specific passage in Romans 8 beginning in verse 9 that speaks to the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus and in your life. That speaks to the purpose of the indwelling. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What that passage is telling us, among other things, is that you want the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Because it's right back to where we started. What is the point of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Well, to give life. But it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so, when Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, He didn't just pretend to be a man. He played the part. He was a man. And He died. The same way you and I are going to die. And so what is our hope when it comes to life? Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, is the hope of glory. And the indwelling Holy Spirit is the hope of resurrection. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise you and is going to raise me from the dead. And our bodies are going to be conformed to the image of the body of Christ. And Jesus is going to come again to deliver us to the Father, where we will always be with the Lord. What is the conclusion of our work together this year and of the whole matter? There is a God in whom we live and move and have our very being. And He is so awesome that it took 40-something men, over 1,500-something years, writing 66 different books to different people during different times, to reveal just a fraction of His purpose for our lives and His will and His being and all of it. I mean, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, but there is so much more that we would like to know, that the apostles wanted to know, and Jesus told them in John 16, y'all aren't ready for that. You're just not ready. And there are just a lot of things that none of us are ready for yet because we don't have our glorified eyes to behold. And so as we think about everything that God has revealed, He wants us to know that we live and move and have our very being in Him, and He wants us to understand that Jesus is His Son, and He wants us to understand that we are not alone, that we have an invisible helper dwelling within us who helps. And so when we come to understand who Jesus is, then we come to understand who the Father is, and we come to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And when we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then the call of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is to be baptized into the name of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. In Romans 6, in this great chapter that speaks to what happens when we obey the gospel, we are united with Christ in His death and resurrection. Just as He died and was buried and arose, we died with Christ. We are buried with Christ. And we rise with Christ to walk in newness of life. We are raised by the glory of the Father, and the indwelling of the Spirit is given to us to give life. And so as we bring all of this home this morning, what God wants above all else from you is you. He wants your heart. He wants your intellect. And He wants your emotions. And He wants your will. And when you give Him your heart, then your conscience is going to be clear, because your conscience is going to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And so this morning we encourage you to be united, to commit, to enter into covenant relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you've not obeyed the gospel, there is a baptistry of warm water behind me. There are clothes that you can change into. We can baptize you in to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even this hour. But the last thing I want to say to all of us this morning, and especially to those of us who are members of the Annandale Church of Christ, if you're visiting with us, we're delighted that you come. We pray God's richest blessings on you. But to my beloved brethren who have blessed me richly this year as I have labored among you, may the God of hope be with you all. Joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. While we stand and while we sing, we encourage you.